AM on WORT 89.9 FM.
Hi, I'm Randy, a longtime WORT listener and an Evergreen donor. This year, I will be donating to WORT through my IRA. To lessen my tax impact, I can make a donation to WORT, and this might even lower my Medicare premiums and put me in a lower tax bracket. If you are 70 and a half or older, you can do this too. Why did I decide to include WORT for part of my RMD distributions? Well, it's easy. It's the music. WORT has opened my ears to music I don't hear anywhere else. Donating to WORT is my way of saying thanks to this local treasure. To learn more about RMD donations, visit the donation page on WORTFM.org or email Susan at WORTFM.org. Happy 50th, WORT.
In Arabic, we say إصلاح الموجود خير من انتظار المفقود.
Translation: to fix the situation at hand is better than waiting for a better situation to appear.
Not unless you're dealing with a car sometimes, Rowan. If a car breaks down, try to fix that puppy and it's not worth a buck. It'll cost you thousands of bucks. Might as well toss it and get a new one.
Perhaps.
But hey, the wisdom applies if you're...
It's still usually less expensive to fix the wreck.
If you're in a relationship,
Even if the cost of repair is less than the worth of the vehicle.
I'm just being facetious. In some cases, the cost of labor is prohibitive. But if you can fix the thing on your own, it would be worth the time. You put some sweat equity in that.
Absolutely.
And then you turn around, you don't have to wait for a new one.
Ladies and gentlemen, you are listening to another episode of Salamat, your weekly tour of Arab and Arab American news, culture, issues, art, music, food, and, whatever other shenanigans we get up to in the next half an hour.
Festivities,
yes. Yeah. Well, today in particular, right?
Yeah. That was Rowan Atallah, translator extraordinaire. My name is Sabi Atiyeh. We take you on this journey every week. We promise to fix the show rather than waiting for a new show to replace us in this half hour.
I'm not sure how to take that.
On this 30th day, I thought I'd use something parallel to our proverbial startup.
Yeah, fair enough.
On this 30th day of March, 2025, also known as the first day of Shawwal, in the year 1446 after Hijra in the Islamic calendar. Eid Mubarak to our Muslim listeners who celebrated the end of Ramadan yesterday. Some may be somewhere in the world still living Ramadan today as the last day of Ramadan.
So today rather than yesterday?
Yes. Mm-hmm. It was cited in North America. They decided on late Friday night. It was the 11th hour.
Okay.
It was a cliffhanger. The month of Shawwal is the 10th, the current month. Now, we entered this month as the month lunar and solar cycle now will start separating.
Yes.
And every month will differ a few days, resulting in a 10 to 11 days a year of difference. Shawwal is the 10th month in the Islamic Hijra calendar. Hijra is in reference to the Hijra, the migration, the escape from, or what you would call voluntary travel. The Prophet, peace be upon him, left Mecca to Medina to escape persecution.
Voluntarily?
I believe
it was the same as the, quote, voluntary, yeah, unquote, relocation.
His life was made living heck, so he decided to. So as the 10th month of the lunar cycle, the month holds great significance in the lives of Muslims worldwide as it marks the end of the holy month of Ramadan and the beginning of Eid. Eid al-Fitr starts today, and it goes on for a few days. The name Shawwal, by the way, while we're on linguistic challenges, the name Shawwal is derived from the Arabic to Shal, which means to uplift, or the uplifting, or the carrier, or something that elevates you. This is an apt description for this month because it's time of joy and celebration after the completion of Ramadan, a month of fasting and spiritual reflection. It can be painful. The first day of Shawwal is celebrated as Eid al-Fitr, which happened to be today. It is the most important Islamic holiday. This festival is an opportunity for Muslims to come together with family and friends, give thanks to Allah for the strength to complete the month of fasting and to share the joy of their faith. Eid al-Fitr is a time of Muslims to come together and family and friends and give money to each other. Instead of gifts, we kids back, you know, when I was a child, we'd get money for Eid and we blow it in the same day,
the way that children do. Yes,
but these communal prayers were the most special thing at the mosque or in a small community room somewhere, and usually festive meals and gift giving. Not so much gift, like I said, cash giving. Charitable donations are also zakat, especially for those who were not able to fast the month. Muslims that are not able to fast the month will pay not a substitution, but you know, in lieu of, you feed people during the month, mm-hmm, and at the end of the month you give a percentage of something. I'm not sure what of the details of how much you need to give per person or per quota. I don't know if it's a percentage, but if you can afford to feed someone who's fasting during the month, and do that at the end of the month. But this strengthens the bond between family members, and you know, express gratitude for and blessing for receiving such gifts, and then often engage in acts of kindness and generosity. It is highly recommended that Muslims fast for 6 days during the month of Shawwal. They don't have to be consecutive. They definitely should not be on the first and second days of the Eid, because you know, you're going visiting places and here you are continuing the fasting. That you should skip it. And then those six days of fasting could be Mondays and Thursdays. And a lot of Muslims around the world fast even outside of Shawwal, outside of Ramadan. Every Monday and Thursday, my grandmother would fast. So voluntary. There was no maybe extra credit.
I see. Okay.
But you know, it takes discipline to do that.
Of course.
If you keto or you don't. It's neato to fast Mondays and Thursdays every week. That's it. So again, Eid Sa'id, Happy Eid, Eid Mubarak, Eid Kon Kareem, Kul Sana Wanta Salim. There's so many ways of saying to somebody, yo, may you live long enough to see the next Eid. Which next Eid are you talking about? Dhul Hajj. The Hajj. The next Eid we celebrate is called the Eid of Hajj. Eid al-Adha. We'll talk about that when we get closer.
So which month is that in?
Dhul Hajj. The month is called month of the Hajj.
All right.
I believe it's the first month of the year, so maybe in 3 months.
Oh, okay.
I need to look this up.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I mean, I'd have to look it up.
All I knew is that Ramadan was the ninth month and Shawwal is the 10th month. And then Dhul Qa'da and Dhul Hajj. Yeah, I think so. I think it's just a few more months.
So, yeah. Did you hear about the iftar at the White House?
Oh, yes, I did.
Yeah.
That's
so
very nice. It's nice people.
Yeah. Our dear leader.
Fearless
at best. This is at the iftar dinner. This was actually on March 27th.
Yeah.
Our dear leader thanked the, quote, hundreds of thousands of Muslim Americans who supported him in record numbers in the 2024 elections as he hosted the first iftar dinner of his second term.
I agree with him. It was record number. It was higher than the last time he was in there because I guess Muslims couldn't stand Hillary and they couldn't ever stand the next contender that he was running against.
So during the course of this dinner, he said, my administration is engaged in relentless diplomacy to forging lasting peace in the Middle East, building on the historic Abraham Accords, which everybody said would be impossible, and now we're going to start filling them out. He was referring to the controversial U.S. brokered normalization agreements between Israel and several Muslim-majority countries, including the UAE, Bahrain, Morocco, and Sudan in 2020. Of course, the 2024 election saw a swell of Arab American support for Trump, breaking with the traditional support for the Democratic Party, largely over former U.S. President Joe Biden's support for Israel's war on Gaza. And despite repeated pledges to halt the war on the campaign trail and precipitating a temporary ceasefire shortly before he entered office in January, Trump has also reportedly greenlit Israel's resumption of fighting earlier this month. And since then, Israeli forces have killed nearly 900 Palestinians, including hundreds of children, in 10 days. Trump has also approved nearly $12 billion in new arms sales to Israel,
including the 2,000-ton or the 2-ton bomb, which I guess at some point Biden may have said, hey, okay, stop it. Now you're blowing kids to smithereens. Just simmer down there, kids.
Yep. So, and, you know, of course, soon after he assumed office, our dear leader called for the forced expulsion of Palestinians from Gaza, announcing that his administration would take over the enclave, relocate its inhabitants elsewhere, and turn the territory into the Riviera of the Middle East.
Hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Those are all in his dreams.
Yes,
I think. And
so,
then Riviera, according to whom?
Right.
I mean, all they wanted
or
was...
Or for whom.
Was,
I think for whom
for
is
whom,
really
yeah.
The,
yeah.
The more important question there.
Hmm.
So, yeah. So, and of course, we did talk about Mahmoud Khalil last week. Earlier this week, of course, U.S. immigration authorities detained and revoked the visa of a Turkish doctoral student at Tufts University near Boston, who had also voiced support for Palestinians in Israel's war on Gaza. Rumeysa Özturk's supporters say her detention late last Tuesday is the first known immigration arrest of a Boston-area student engaged in such activism to be carried out by President Trump's administration, which has detained or sought to detain several foreign-born students who are legally in the U.S. and have been involved in pro-Palestinian protests.
Mm.
These actions, not surprisingly, have been condemned as an assault on free speech, though the Trump administration argues that certain protests are anti-Semitic and can undermine U.S. foreign policy. Her arrest was captured on video showing masked and plainclothed agents taking the 30-year-old Turkish national into custody near her home in Somerville, Massachusetts, when, according to her lawyer, she was heading to meet with friends to break her Ramadan fast. So since that time, Arab American News has also published a piece about universities that are currently in Trump's crosshairs, and a lot of people don't know that this is happening. But Muhlenberg College learned in January, as pro-Palestinian protests were sweeping campuses across the U.S., that it was under investigation for discriminating against Jewish students, And the college took action. The college fired a tenured professor who had been accused of targeting Jewish students. And the U.S. Education Department, satisfied with Muhlenberg's response to complaints of anti-Semitism on campus, ended its investigation. So it came as a surprise when they were included on a list of 60 universities and colleges under investigation by the Education Department for anti-Semitism. So this March 10th letter went to 60 institutions, signed by the Education Department's acting civil rights chief, Craig Traynor, focusing on anti-Semitic activity following October 7th, 2023. It warned that the Trump administration would not tolerate anti-Semitic acts, and institutions that did risked losing federal government funding. Nearly a third of them, 19 in total, of these academic institutions under investigation for so-called anti-Semitism by the administration had already resolved earlier complaints or had never been subject to such complaints at all, according to 31 colleges' response to queries from Reuters and an analysis of publicly available records maintained by the Education Department's Office for Civil Rights. So the seemingly haphazard composition of the list and potentially enormous financial implications raised immediate concerns in the academic community. Well, that's not really a surprise, nor is it a surprise that a spokesperson from the Education Department did not respond to Reuters' requests for comments.
Well, I'm not surprised. Hey, do you know that in the old days, the dates that we talked about last week, the edible dates,
yes,
we kind of pluck off the tree and eat.
Okay.
We're considered
Thank you for
to
clarifying.
Be a miracle food by the ancient nomadic desert Arabs, who called them the bread of the desert. Huh? Yes, it was.
I didn't know, but I can believe that.
And in Egyptian, the word falafel is called ta'amiya. Huh? Did you know that? It's the one Arab country that calls it something else, but
they don't call it falafel.
They know what it is. They know that it has a dual name, but there it's called ta'amiya. And one last sab.
Difficult.
Yes, very good.
Yeah.
Challenging.
Yes.
Hard.
It's not the same as the car.
No, not the sab car. Saab.
There's Saab. Yes. Saab.
The letter ayn,
yes,
is very difficult to pronounce by many Americans. The ayn and the kha and the dh and the dh.
Yeah, there's a few other letters that a lot of
somebody may
native
say
English speakers would struggle with
as well. Kuzuntite. Well, you're just saying a word. Bless you. No, I wasn't sneezing. I just said bht. Which to pressure, by the way. Dagat is pressure.
Okay.
And dagat is to apply. And Arabic as a language is called Lisan al-Dab.
Yes.
The only language that has the letter da. It's
yes.
Not a T. It's not a D. It's a
I think of it as a modified D.
Sad with a nukta, with a point on top,
yes,
is pronounced da.
So why did you bring up the word Saab?
Somebody was saying the Arabic is Arabic easy, and I go, no, it's relatively easy if you learn it as a child.
Yeah.
Because he said he's acquiring language.
Okay.
A young man.
Okay.
Just finished high school. And learning Arabic surrounding himself with Arabs and diving in, learning Arabic from people who work with him alongside.
Okay.
Okay. He's a coworker.
Okay.
So he's been tapping into the raw knowledge of our new team members who just joined us or just came to the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
New immigrants are the best way to learn the native tongue because they don't speak the English, the language, so you can't use it as a crutch. And they will, using sign language, teach you some of these words.
Right.
So I happen to know both. So said young man who's learning Arabic comes up to me some days as saying, what is the word sahl?
Easy.
That's right. So you, to you it comes easy.
Yeah.
And I said, pronounce it again. He said Sahil. And I say Sahil. Sahil as liquid? Because, you know, in translation, things kind of, because you're using close enough letters to identify the word phonetically.
Right.
But then it could be Sahil, Sahil, or Sahil. So I didn't know what he was trying to say. So I listed four different things, and he said they're all the same. So in short, I'm learning more about Arabic
more closely.
As I answer questions about Arabic from somebody who's learning it from people who don't speak any English.
So, I mean, one of the things that is interesting to me in terms of, like, the perception of Arabic as being a difficult language, and I'm not saying that it is an easy language, but I've actually had a few arguments, actually now that I think about it, mostly with native Arabic speakers. And I feel like Arabic is actually... There are things which make it easier to get your head around than English, because the grammatical rules in Arabic have far fewer exceptions to them compared with English. And I think that that has a lot to do with the fact that English is, although technically a Germanic language, right, brings in heavy Greek and Romance influences, and then it has also, Celtic and Gaelic influences, kind of in the mix. So,
well, Arabic is Semitic.
Yes, it is.
So when people say anti-Semitic, and like, we're Semites, us Palestinians are Semites.
Well, yeah. But that's, I mean, you know, we're talking about the language, right? Relative ease of learning the language. I think the fact that some of their underlying operating principles in Arabic that are very, very different from what people are used to with European languages, right? Obviously. There is no verb to be in the present tense. And I think that's one that really takes people quite a while to get their head around from a mechanical perspective.
Yes. And many things lose the punch when you translate them, and to begin with, even if you between French and English, French and Spanish.
Sure.
You
know? Sure.
And when I was learning English, I also had to take a foreign language class at East High School.
On top of learning English as a second language?
I had just moved to the U.S. I have 1 year of high school. I register at East High School, my alma mater. And they said, it looks like this guy is done with all of his classes except foreign language. He needs to satisfy the foreign language requirement to graduate from East High School.
So and what did you have to take?
My uncle said he barely speaks English, that kid down there. Can we factor Arabic as his foreign language? He happens to be fluent in Arabic. He studied 11 years of schooling in Syria at the time, and we I will vouch for him knowing and fluently knowing Arabic and speaking and writing it. They said we have no way of testing it, and we don't teach it as a language, so we're not going to even discuss Arabic. He can take German, French, or Spanish. I took French.
Okay.
Had I known I was going to be in the hospitality business, I would have definitely taken Spanish instead. But my 1 year of French went nowhere. I have not done much with it.
No.
But now I'm
not even to the extent that it helps you lay the groundwork for Spanish.
No, I think I learned the groundwork for Spanish by working with people who spoke it. And I did the same thing as these. Who's calling me? Why are people calling me this time of the night?
That's a great question.
Let me turn this thing off. And it's not a call-in show, especially not bringing my personal phone. Hey, some of the local news also included the fourth suspect charged in a Dearborn murder of an Arab American business owner in 2023. Video surveillance showed another person that was also included in this. The number of individuals so far are now four. obviously, it's a tragic thing that happened to the Arab American. Authorities believe that the killing was a result of a random armed robbery targeting the Lebanese American victim after he left his restaurant or a restaurant with his fiancée one night in September 2023. The Dearborn police stated that the arrest earlier in March was based on new information that investigators uncovered. The suspect appeared before the judge, Sam Salami, who ordered him held without bond. So hopefully justice will be served there, and those who are affected will be sent to an institution to correct such behavior and prevent it from future happenings. Speaking of behaviors related to this, a reward was offered. $20,000 were offered to the road rage killing of a 19-year-old Rawan Bassetti, who I guess a month after the tragic death of this 19-year-old driver. It was a road rage, I guess. The driver was, she did not start the fight. Dearborn police said that they're trying to find, in addition to the police department offering this, there's an organization called Crime Stoppers. The information that would lead to any information to arrest the killer and find out who they may have been. There are other vehicles nearby, so they're hoping that this will at least attract someone or refresh someone's memory to find out who the culprit was. And that's it for Dearborn East Michigan news.
We have a couple of items of film news.
Mm-hmm. Oh, we're bringing back the Hollywood Minute.
Yeah, thanks. The Hollywood
Less
Minute.
Than minute, yeah. 30 seconds.
So, okay. 30 seconds? I don't know if it'll be. It might not be quite that.
And rolling.
So, the Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences issued a statement to its members last Friday apologizing for not adequately expressing its support of the Palestinian Oscar-winning filmmaker Hamdan Balal. Balal, who won this year's feature-length documentary Academy Award for co-directing the film No Other Land, about the difficulties of life under occupation, said he was attacked last Monday by Israeli settlers. He was then arrested by the Israeli army. Authorities released the director the following day, saying Balal had been detained for hurling stones. The filmmaker and witnesses, of course, deny this accusation. But the Academy's initial statement in response to the alleged attack sent out on Wednesday to its roughly 11,000 members did not include Balal's name or the title of his film. The Wednesday statement spoke in generalities, such as the Academy condemns harming or suppressing artists for their work or their viewpoints, and we believe deeply in the ability of film to illuminate, provoke thought, and bridge divides by offering a window into diverse human experiences. The updated statement sent out on Friday and shared by the Academy's press office on Saturday via email was more explicit. We regret that we failed to directly acknowledge Mr. Balal and the film by name. We sincerely apologize to Mr. Balal and all artists who felt unsupported by our previous statement and want to make it clear that the Academy condemns violence of this kind anywhere in the world. And the apology appeared after a wave of online protests against the Academy, first for not responding to Balal's attack at all, and then for not responding adequately to it. So the co-director of No Other Land, Yuval Abraham, said, sadly, the U.S. Academy, which awarded us an Oscar 3 weeks ago, declined to publicly support Hamdan Balal while he was beaten and tortured by Israeli soldiers and settlers. Several U.S. Academy members, especially in the documentary branch, pushed for a statement, but it was ultimately refused. We were told that because other Palestinians were beaten up in the settler attack, it could be considered unrelated to the film, so they felt no need to respond.
Hmm.
Wow. Yeah. Okay, so the other, in our last minute or so here, the live-action remake of Snow White Which has not actually been doing very well at the box office. But after an article reported that Rachel Zegler, one of the stars, trashed the production of Disney's Snow White due to her stance on Palestine, thousands online are applauding her vocal stance this week, despite the pressures of working with Disney and former Israeli army soldier Gal Gadot. The live-action version of its first animated princess film had a lackluster opening weekend, garnering only $44.3 million domestically and a 42% score from critics, making it the lowest-scoring major live-action Disney adaptation, according to Forbes. But, yes, Rachel Zegler has not backed down at all on her support of Palestine. On Tuesday, Variety released an article, Inside Disney's Snow White Fiasco, Death Threats, Beefed Up Security, and a Social Media Guru for Rachel Zegler, in which the first paragraph refers to Zegler tweeting, "And always remember Free Palestine," in a thread thanking fans for getting the trailer 120 million views in a day, which people apparently found shocking.
Yeah, anyway. Because, you know, we've talked about this before, Palestine, there is soft censorship in Hollywood going after Palestine this time of year.
And ladies and gentlemen,
what happened here?
You have been listening to Salamat,
your
weekly tour of Arab and Arab American news, culture, issues, art, music, food, etc. Yeah.
We forgot the food segment. Hey, stay tuned next week. Join us again next week as we talk soup.
Sounds good. In the meantime, stay tuned for Pachyderm Parade coming up next. In the meantime, we bid you farewell by saying, as always, in Arabic,
Assalamu alaikum.
In English, peace be upon you.
يا طالعين عيني للجبل يا مول الموقدين النار بين ليل يا من يا مان عيني للهنا يا روح يا طالعين